The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, blending business and politics. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. It is absolutely amazing to be here with you guys today. We are going to have a fantastic show, and I have to tell you, it's going to rock and roll because we have quite a few people here in studio with me, and I'm very excited to talk about some important things. But I got to start with a couple things. So first of all, this is, I would say, you know, we hear this thing that this is the election of a lifetime. It really is. And this is not about Trump, you guys. It is not about Donald J. Trump. It is about the people. And it's about honesty and integrity and freedom to be without oversight and manipulation and deceit. And we're falling victim to this notion that if we align with something, we're then therefore bad. So they've characterized, we'll say mischaracterized, Donald J. Trump based on his past or whatever. Everybody's a past. I don't care about his past. I care about who he is today. And I know that people transform. And I know that people find God. And I know that people find their faith. And so, and finding your faith changes a person, right? So I know that I'm not the same person I was in my 20s. Thank you, God. So why is it that they condemn a man for how he was in the past rather than revere him for who he is today? Today is what matters, right here, right now. And so when we look at the amazing people, the amazing people that I have here, I want you to know that we're aligned. But we're not aligned around simply Donald J. Trump. We're aligned around the future of this nation. And I want to tell you something. We're in a fight for our freedom and our nation, and we are losing. I know that's harsh to hear, but we cannot live in la-la land like it's going to turn out like it did 4 years ago. I do not believe we're winning, and I'm very concerned about that. Because what's at stake isn't Donald Trump. What's at stake is our nation, our rights, our freedoms, our voice. And it's not any longer we the people. It's them the people. So I want to make sure that we get real here. And I want to quote a man that was a mentor for me many years ago. And I was working as a young lady in a corporation, and he stood in front of 500 people. He was chairman of the board, Jim McEachern of the Tom James Company, and he stood up and he said, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. It's not up to you or you. It's up to me. So what does that mean? That means that I'm responsible. I'm going to make this happen because I say so. And if each of us took that position, that if it's going to be, it's up to me, and we did whatever we could to get seniors in and to get people voting and to get their ballots cast, we must get out the vote and we must help people do that. So this is my last few weeks with you before the election. So take this time, take it on like I'm the one, and let's make this happen because it's not about a man. It's about a nation. So I want to bring on somebody who is running for Congress, and that is Neil Parrott. And Neil, you are running for the Maryland 6th Congressional District. And as you know, I supported Ami Hober when she ran for that district last time. And it's a very important district because you stretch from Upper Montgomery County to the westernmost part of Maryland. And there's lots and lots of different people and interests and commitments within that range, right? So first of all, thank you for running. And one of the things I want to say about this We the People thing and that it's about a nation is we must win back the House. And we must, you know, maintain the Senate. And we must stay in the White House. If we don't do that, there will be hell to pay for everybody. So you are an important part of that. Tell us about why did you decide to run for Congress?
Well, good morning, Jen. And of course, I'm Neil Peart, and I'm so glad to be on your show today. And a lot of the things you talked about are up for grabs in our country. And what I saw the House, you know, I was making decisions back in November, and Nancy Pelosi at the time was trying to impeach President Trump really over things that were totally non-impeachable, actually kind of made up. And my opponent, David Trone, was all in. He was trying to impeach the president. He goes along with Nancy Pelosi on almost 100% of her votes. He's a vote that she can totally count on. And I just thought that's not what the majority of the people in District 6 want to see. Also, when I consider David Trone, he lives right outside the D.C. Beltway. He doesn't live in District 6. He actually ran for Congress in 2016 and lost to Jamie Raskin in District 8, where he actually lives. And then he came in 2 years later, unfortunately beat Ami Hoover. I really liked Ami as well, and then won. But he came here, he pretty much bought the seat, and I believe right now that District 8 in Maryland has two representatives and District 6 has none. And so I'm here to give District 6 a real voice. And I tell you, a lot of really local issues, you know, we talk about David Trone living near the D.C. Beltway. I live in Hagerstown. I've been a delegate in Hagerstown for 10 years. But we're very, very involved in the city of Frederick. Even this morning, the reason I was here earlier than this was to drop my kids off at a Monocacy Aquatic Club where they are having a swim meet today here at Hood College. And that's where they swim. We're here pretty much every day. So Frederick is our backyard. I was the city engineer at the city of Frederick. I also worked for the State Highway Administration in the Frederick office where I was the traffic engineer. My area was Frederick and then half of Carroll County, so all of Frederick, the state roads. So I really have a heart for Frederick and trying to improve this area. You know, I look at, let's just say roads, look at I-270, and David Trone just hasn't done what needs to be done to try to widen it.
It's a mess.
Oh, it's a complete mess. Governor Hogan is going the right direction, trying to do what we need to do to widen this road, and he gets very little support from Congressman Trone. And the same thing happens.
Well, I have to interject something because I remember David Trone found it interesting enough to put all his signs on the highways that's considered election law illegal. But, you know, but he can't take care of them. So I find that interesting. That's kind of interesting.
It is. Well, you know, I try and follow the law as best I can. I've had volunteers like, hey, let's put these signs for everything. Like, no, we have to follow the law.
Follow the rules.
On
if you're going to make
property.
Them, you better follow them.
That's right. As long as it's on private property, you can see it from the highways, but it needs to be on private property. And so, you know, I do believe we need someone local, someone who cares about it because, like, I live here, shop here, work here.
I got it. But here's the thing. To get straight about it, you've got Upper Montgomery County that you need to win. Why would Democrats in Montgomery County prefer you over David Trone?
Well, I think that's a great question. But first, let me just talk about that I need to win. I don't need to win. I only need 35% of the vote in Montgomery County in order to be the next congressman for District 6. And why is that the case? Well, that's the case because Garrett Allegheny in Washington County, we're expecting about 75%, 70% to 75% winning there and then tying here in Frederick. We have those numbers, 35% in Montgomery County. We win. Now, Dan Bongino in 2014, he got those numbers in Montgomery County. Unfortunately, he was a little bit low in the western Maryland part. Ami Hoover, she was higher, much higher in the western part, but her numbers in Montgomery County were lower. They were 25% where he needed to get the 35%. You know, people have asked, is this a winnable race? It sure is. Dan Bongino barely lost in 2014.
And yeah, I was with him that night when the votes were coming in. It was amazing.
Oh, it was. Well, he was ahead. Everybody kind of thought he had it that night.
We thought we had it, yeah.
And then, yes, more votes came in. But also, if we just look at Larry Hogan in 2014, he easily won District 6. And at that point, he wasn't the independent that he is now, like his own name. He was the Republican ticket, but he won easily just District 6. And then, of course, 4 years later, he easily won again.
So how would you say that people who liked Hogan, why would they like you? In other words, what's that common thread?
Well, I think the common thread for me is common sense, that I'm going to do what is going to help our country move forward. I'm going to do what's going to help District 6 be on the map and actually have a real representative from the district who cares about the district. I talked about I-270, but we look at manufacturing jobs. Here in Frederick, we used to have BP Solar, and we also used to have East Alco. I could keep talking several manufacturing jobs that are just gone. We need to have those jobs coming back, and that's so important. And the way we're going to do that is by playing tough with countries like China and then, of course, NAFTA, renegotiating it. We need a Congress that's going to think that's a priority. And unfortunately, Congress Trone doesn't believe that that's a priority. And so we need to do that to get manufacturing jobs back. And I think it's very important. Opportunity zones are very important. Just this week, I was in Hagerstown and North Point. It's having a huge investment. They're going to have 1,500 jobs in the city of Hagerstown. And why? Why did they choose Hagerstown? Well, they chose it, one, because the opportunity zones federally allowed them to get a tax break by going to that type of city. But the second reason was that the state of Maryland, really through the good work of Senator Serafini and Delegate Bill Weibel, they got a tax break here for the state of Maryland. Those types of things, you know, people are competing. And it's not just between states, but it's between countries. Where are they going to locate their different companies, especially manufacturing? They could be anywhere in the world. And we want to bring those back to the United States.
Well, amen to that. I believe that's been a, you know, I used to work in a manufacturing industry. I was a custom clothing manufacturer rep, and then I actually opened my own company. And so when I could only get things made in China or Hong Kong, you know, that was disappointing to me. So many of our local clothing manufacturers, U.S., had closed up. Mm-hmm. So we were beholden to China. And that's what it's been, beholden to. And having worked in the medical industry and seeing that supply chain, I will tell you a story so that to kind of put a button on what you're saying. A friend of mine who's been an executive in healthcare had a ship of PPE coming in from China. That got turned around midway. They said, you know what, the $1 million you gave us isn't enough. By the way, we're going to keep that $1 million and charge you. I think it was two or three more. Wow. It went back. So they've been holding us hostage, hostage. And people like Nancy Pelosi are complicit because they turn around. They say, well, they're just our competitors. No, they're our enemy. And there's a big, huge difference. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. It's great to have Neil Parrott with us. We have also Dr. Brenda Cham, who will be with us after the break. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in building your reputation through an outstanding customer experience? Hi, this is Melissa Lentz, owner of MJAC Designs. We are experts in understanding, evaluating, and improving your customer's experience. Times have changed. Now more than ever, organizations need to know how they are perceived. Let MJAC design a way for you to understand your customer experience. We put people first as a certified minority woman-owned business. Contact us at mjachdesigns.com.
Hi, this is Dave Dionovich, owner of Dionovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
This is where Mid-Maryland comes to speak out. Free Talk, 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Neil Parrott and Dr. Brenda Cham. And we're going to bring Brenda on in just a moment. But, Neil, in kind of wrapping up, you know, We have a wide listening audience here. We reach into West Virginia. Shout out to West Virginia, Berkeley Springs. We reach into Leesburg, over to, you know, Carroll County. Thanks, Gettysburg, for listening. I do know that we have listeners up in Pennsylvania because I've heard from them. So you represent, and I'm going to say this to Brenda also. You know, when you're a legislator, yes, you represent the interests of the people who are voting you in. But you really become that conservative voice in a sea of muckety muck right now, mm-hmm. that is trying to take down a nation and a president. And they don't care if they hurt people in the process. They don't care about the little kids who are shuttered up and in depression because they can't see their friends. They don't care. They just want to win. And we have to restore integrity to this process. But so you're speaking to a much wider audience. How can people around help you win this seat? Because David Trone's got more money than God. So, you know, how are you going to win this thing?
Well, Jen, thanks for asking. We are getting volunteers from all over. People are contributing to the campaign, and we need that to keep going. I would just say to everyone who's listening, you know, one of the third points I had was we need to cut taxes. Without taking any action at all, the legislature is going to raise taxes on a family of four by over $2,000 if no action is taken. We need to make sure that those tax cuts remain permanent. But I would say this. We only need 17 seats to flip from Democrat to Republican, and then we remove Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. And that's one of the big reasons why I ran. It's time for Nancy Pelosi not to be there, be replaced with a common-sense conservative. And to do that, I would ask people to visit my website and contribute there, because that's going to be the way that I could tell you some big projects I have at the end of this campaign. I just really want to get them done, but I can't unless I have the right funding. And we're so close. Just go to neilparrott.org. Again, that's NEILPARROTT.org, neilparrott.org. You can sign up to volunteer or make a contribution right there. That would be a huge help, especially right now when we're only about 24 days away from the election.
Okay, guys, so here's what I'm going to say to you, and I said it to a group of folks the other night. We cannot cower. We cannot be afraid. We must stand up and fight because the cavalry isn't coming. You're it. So we must volunteer for Neil. We mm-hmm. must support him financially so he can buy the ads. We must stand up and support the candidates who are committed to changing this country back to a freedom, justice, and the American way. So thank you, Neil,
and
for being here.
We can do it.
We can do it, but it's going to take some courage. It's not going to happen. You know, when people fought hundreds of years ago, it took some courage. And I feel like, you know, we've been allowed to be pushed into a corner and cowering for fear someone's going to key our car if we have a sign, or someone's going to, you know, throw egg on us, or God forbid, a Molotov cocktail because we wear a MAGA hat. But we have to stand up. If we don't do it now, all will be lost. So, this man has gone through hell in a handbasket for us. It's our turn now to stand up and not be afraid, but be vocal. Okay, so thank you, Neil, for being that leader for us. Okay,
no, I appreciate it.
Nancy Pelosi needs to go. She just needs to go. She's old. She's tired. She's done. So her thing, and hopefully people aren't going to say that about me in 10 years. But the point being, her issues aren't representing the people. They aren't representing the people. They're representing the minority of the leaders who want to cover their butt. Okay,
so that's
Neil,
exactly right.
Thank you for being here.
Great to be
all right,
here.
That's great. Now, and you, please join us as we welcome Dr. Brenda Cham. And Brenda, it has been a roller coaster meeting you. Oh my gosh, I feel like I already know you pretty well. We just met this week, but mm-hmm. I'm so honored that you're here. And I think that, you know, along with Neil, you are bringing some real opportunities to turn around Hagerstown. And I'll tell you a quick story. So I was Miss Maryland in 1985, and I was crowned Miss Maryland in the Maryland Theater. And so I have a heart for Hagerstown because I spent a lot of time there, and there's really, really good people there, but it's suffered a lot of economic loss. So I know that you're going to be a breath of fresh air mm-hmm. for Hagerstown. How do you, can you tell people first your background? I think it's interesting what you bring to the conversation in Annapolis as the newest legislator. So you've been appointed by the governor for 2B, District 2B, in Hagerstown. So there's four representatives. Neil, you're one of them.
Yes.
Who are the other two? Mike McKay.
Delegate Weivel.
Yeah.
Neil Weivel, Mike McKay, and Delegate Neil Parrott and myself.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. What an honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan. Thank you for having me this morning. Good morning to everyone. Well, you know, this week has been a whirlwind of a week. I can't even think of another word other than a whirlwind, a roller coaster, but in a good way, not in a way that has caused me to run for the hills. But it's really been a very adventurous week with so many people reaching out to me and sending me congratulations on my accomplishments thus far. And it's just really been just very it's been a wonderful week.
Wonderful. Now,
and Jen, could I add in?
Please.
The whole delegation is so excited to have Brenda join us. Now, I'm hoping not to be with you in Annapolis.
That's right.
In Congress.
It's bittersweet, Neil, for you. Hopefully you'll win Congress.
Thank you. Thank
prayerfully.
You. But we are so excited that you're here, that you're going to be representing District 2A. The Central Committee, I think, just made a fantastic choice in choosing you. You bring a lot of enthusiasm. We're seeing it this week.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot's expected of you, but I know you're going to deliver because I've seen that in the past. She's not new to helping and
right.
being involved in politics. You know, you were running for city council.
Mm-hmm.
You had a fantastic race going on. You were supporting President Trump, which a lot of the people in the council race were just stepping away. They wouldn't
Absolutely.
Even talk about him.
Right.
But you are right there, and I know that you want what's best for our country.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So when we look at the opportunity to bring your talents to bear, would you tell people about your background?
My background is an educator. A special educator for the last 20 plus years. That has been my chosen profession. That's my niche. I enjoy wholeheartedly working with children with disabilities, more specifically children with autism. That's been my background as far as a teacher and administrator is concerned. I started teaching in a non-public school for children with autism. I became an administrator at a school for children with autism in Montgomery County. I moved to Washington County in 2006 and started working for the school system in 2007. And up until November 2019, I worked in the special education department as the school district's autism specialist. So my niche, if you will, is children with autism. I really enjoy working with them and helping them to make great gains and great strides in their functional academics.
So thank you for doing that really important work.
Yes,
I mean, it's really
absolutely.
Important. When you look at the educational system today, and we're getting ready to go on a break, so it may be something we want to ponder over the break. But when you look at the issues today about having kids on campus or not, and COVID and all of that, and the other ramifications of withdrawing them from the socialization we know is so important, what do you think are the things that we should change in the educational system, whether or not there's COVID?
Right. You know, unions are a big factor in this whole educational process, teacher unions. And a lot of it is due to a lot of teachers are really just afraid to go back into the schools and work with students during this pandemic that we're experiencing.
But who created that? So I'm going to take us to break. people know how I feel about the teachers union. I think the teachers union was complicit with our friends Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. et al. On creating and driving an unrealistic fear. We're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, MJAC Designs, and KW Photography and Design. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Neil Parrott, running for Maryland's 6th Congressional District, Dr. Brenda Cham, who is recently appointed as the delegate for 2B.
2B.
2B in Maryland. And Brenda, we were talking about what you would change in education you're going to do this over time as you're down in Annapolis, but is there any particular thing you would tackle first?
Well, you know, K-12 education has really become a challenging road for the state of Maryland, really now introducing the Kern Commission and that conversation surrounding the, I guess, the revisions that we need to make for school systems, preparing children for post-secondary outcomes when they graduate high school and get ready for the world of work or going to college and pursuing higher learning. We've really got to prepare students to a greater degree than what we're doing. Times are changing. Maryland is slipping down in the numbers. At one point, a few years ago, we were number one in the country, the state of Maryland was, as far as our educational system. So we really got to make sure that we have those standards that are going to be competitive to other countries to get our students ready for graduating after high school.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what it's like to be a Black female conservative in Maryland. Because I think there's, and I've talked to so many friends and so many people who have said, I felt like I didn't have my voice, like I couldn't say what was really there for me. And they had to be inauthentic about their values or something. So first of all, why did you choose the Republican Party?
I changed parties in 2012. I can't be proud of the fact that I was not always a Republican. I changed in 2012 and I kind of did some self-searching, some soul-searching and some just kind of realigning and looking at my life in 2012 up to 2012 and looking at the current political environment that we were experiencing. And I realized after I did some discovering that I'm not a Democrat after all. I became more aware of politics and the platforms of candidates that were running for at the federal level or at the state level, the local level. And, you know, when you get older, certainly your principles change, your concerns and your issues change. And certainly when I became a wife and a mom, I started to look at things differently, that now it's more than just about me. I have a daughter here that I need to look out for. So in 2012, after I did some research and let me research the Republican platform and what it stands for, I realized that I'm more Republican than I am Democrat. Based on the way I was raised, my parents were divorced, and my mom was a strong Christian woman. That's how she raised us in our home. And just after some soul searching, I knew I had to not only change my party affiliation, but return home to where I belonged.
And what I'm hearing you saying, we've spoken a little bit, is it's your values. There was a connection to the values. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely.
Because I think that there are Democrats out there, and I think even independents who don't want to affiliate for whatever reason, who really aren't perhaps acknowledging something mm-hmm. about their values. And I think this whole notion about Donald Trump is a bad guy has given people permission to kind of stay where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you speak to the people who are like maybe struggling with what you struggled with?
Right. You know, I think we're all guided by a moral compass that keeps us grounded, it keeps us rooted, gives us a strong foundation. I look at the experiences growing up as a young woman. As I mentioned, my mom was a Baptist preacher, and she instilled those values in us to be God-centered, to look to God for all of our needs and the things that we didn't have as children growing up and those things that we lacked and we prayed for. That was the root. Those were the roots in my family that I grew up believing in.
Are you pro-life?
Yes, most certainly. Definitely pro-life. Life begins at conception. So I feel that every life is a life that deserves to be born.
Do you believe that people should find their way through the support of others? You know, I think we get mischaracterized as not compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
I think Republicans are incredibly compassionate. The only thing is we help you help yourself.
Right.
And empower you.
Absolutely.
So how do you speak to some of the Democrat policies that really keep people down?
That's where I get lost with the Democrat Party. And that's the realization that I came to in 2012 regarding the Republican Party. It's a party that uplifts people. It doesn't require you to look to the government to take care of you, to look to the government for a handout, to look to the government to send you a check every month. If you're able-bodied, you're physical, able to work, get out and work and take care of your family. Don't look for the government.
You'll feel
to sustain
better about
you.
Yourself.
Oh, absolutely. You feel confident in being able to provide for your family. My mother always wanted to be a business owner. And for many years, she didn't have the means to do so. You know, financially, she just wasn't able. It wasn't until she was in her 50s, because my mom was a fashionable dresser. She loved big hats, wonderful suits, fancy shoes.
I love it.
So, you know, she prided herself on the way she looked. And certainly her inner beauty was much more appreciated than her outward beauty. And she always wanted to own a women's boutique to sell clothes and purses and hats and clothes to women. And in her 50s, she was able to open a boutique. She was so proud of herself. As her children, we were so proud of her, because we knew that was a lifelong dream for her to own her own business, to be able to take care of herself and for her family. So those things for me are the tenets of the Republican Party that I'm quite proud of to be a part of.
Well, I give you huge accolades for being what I think is certainly historic mm-hmm. in your new role in Annapolis. Thank you to Governor Hogan for appointing you. And you're gonna do great things for Hagerstown. But I want you to know that you represent all conservatives across the state.
Right.
Because we all need your voice
yes.
in Annapolis.
Yes.
And so I wish you Godspeed.
Thank you.
I want us to continue. I believe, and I said this, and we have our next caller on the line. I believe, and I said this a couple of years ago, that actually the future of the Republican Party, in a lot of ways, is in the hands of black women
mm-hmm.
and black men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have to do a better job as a party of communicating that our values are the same.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And we need to set this notion that there's, you know, I know that racism exists. I don't understand it, but I get it. But first of all, I think it exists on both sides. But I also think that it's not the thing that divides us.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not the thing that divides us. It's more of our values
right.
and our differences there
right.
that divides us.
Yeah,
and we are
systems.
Allowing people to say it's about something else.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to put a stop to that. But thank you so much.
Stay tuned.
We have with us Lacey. Jim. We have Jim has a question. We have a caller. Yes. Good morning, Jim. You have a question?
Yes. Good morning. Good to hear you folks. You were talking about the school board, and that reminded me of a question I've been wanting to ask somebody that I just can't seem to get the answer to. I was checking my sample ballot, and I was seeing the names for the folks running for the school board. And whenever I went to the Frederick County voter website, which is a very good website, by the way, I was trying to research if I could determine any political affiliation with any of the people running for the school board. And they always list it as nonpartisan, but I know there's a very large number of them are on the liberal side. So do you know if any of them are conservative, or if there's a place where I can go and find that answer out? It seems like it's something that shouldn't be really hidden, is what the school board registration is.
Let me answer that question for you, Jim. It's hidden, and it's not. Those candidates, from my understanding, are all of the liberal persuasion. The challenge, frankly, is we need, and it was just in a meeting I was in a couple nights ago, we need good candidates to run from the conservative platform, or in the middle even, good grief. We'll take the middle. Because the far left is really dominating that conversation. So we need good conservative or moderate candidates for the Board of Ed. And if you know of anybody or you are somebody, you should step up. Because if we don't, who will?
Mm-hmm.
So as I said it earlier in my broadcast, you're the one, Jim.
I see. I guess the answer is there is none that's a registered Republican.
Not that I know of. And by the way, let's see. Neil has a comment.
Yeah, Jim. Hey, great question. I just have to tell you, I'm so disappointed with the Frederick County Board of Education and their vote just this week, where they said they're not going to open up until the new year. I think that's just ludicrous. I was thankful that at least one of them tried to push for some kind of opening.
It's a very liberal board. And one of the challenges is, and I'm going to just say this is a whole nother show, Jim. You've opened up a great can of worms and we should talk about it. Feel free to reach out to me on Facebook and message me. But the board and the union are extremely liberal. What they're not getting is the impact on the kids. And I shared this with my, you know, my son was, and he's in private school. It was a different issue. So I could get him back on campus. It was our choice to keep him out the first month. But the point is now it's time to get these kids back together because they're depressed. They're frustrated. They don't know what to do. They're failing in the classes. The education is suffering. So the quality of the education is suffering. So we must deal with this. And the only way it's going to happen is if we take dramatic measures and hit them where their pocket and their budget is. When you hit their budget, you'll get their attention. So feel free to reach out to me and I'll connect you with some other folks. But yes, we need conservatives and even moderates to run on the Board of Ed in the next cycle. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, We're Scooping Now, and MJack Designs, as well as KW Photography and Graphic Design. She's fabulous. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in building your reputation through an outstanding customer experience? Hi, this is Melissa Lentz, owner of MJack Designs. We are experts in understanding, evaluating, and improving your customer's experience. Times have changed. Now more than ever, organizations need to know how they are perceived. Let MJack design a way for you to understand your customer experience. We put people first as a certified minority woman-owned business. Contact us at mjachdesigns.com.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh-made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Hi, this is Dave Dionovich, owner of Dionovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
This is House Call for Health. Public health officials continue to tout masks and their protective abilities against the coronavirus. Wednesday, before a Senate panel, Assistant Secretary of Health Admiral Brett Giroir saying,
"Recommended public health practices like wearing a mask, avoiding crowds, especially indoors, and washing your hands, combined with smart testing, is the formula to effectively slow the spread, flatten the curve, and save lives."
But what about those large plastic face shields? How well do they work? A new Japanese study says they're mostly useless. Fugaku, the world's fastest supercomputer, tested them by simulation. The results? Almost 100% of airborne droplets less than 5 micrometers in size escaped through the shield. Riken, a government-backed research center in Kobe, Japan, conducted the study. Duke University researchers had similar results last month, citing face masks as the better way to go. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's all about your car. Call in with questions to Dave Serio beginning in less than 30 minutes right here on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen. And, you know, I don't know that if Lacey Johnson's going to join us. We're trying to reach him. But if not, we'll have him on another week. But I want to just say this notion of education is so important. And it is a federal issue, Neil, as well as state and local. And when 50% of your budget is education, we all need to be concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
And back to your point, Brenda, about being competitive, we need to be competitive. Okay, so we have Lacey Johnson, who I'm very excited to have Mr. Johnson with us today. And we're going to keep Neil and Brenda here in studio. We're all going to work together here. Good morning, Lacey. Welcome to Success Happens.
Good morning. Is this Jen or who am I talking with?
You are talking to Jen. I'm the host. And I have in the studio with me Neil Parrott, who is actually running for Congress in Maryland's 6th Congressional District against David Trone, the Democrat incumbent. And Neil is here. So I thought, well, we'll let him hang out because you guys could kibitz about how Maryland and Minnesota, we're not that different.
I agree. What district is Miss Kim? Is Kim Clayton?
Yeah, Dr. Brenda Cham, and she is a local delegate just appointed by Governor Hogan to Hagerstown, Maryland's District 2B, and she is an educator by trade and amazing. And she is explain to Lacey your notable historical role.
Good morning, Lacey. Nice to meet you over the phone. So I've got a mouthful here to describe the momentous appointment that I've managed to accomplish this week. So I am the first African American woman to be appointed in the Republican caucus for the Maryland General Assembly, and it's a 300-plus year history.
Oh wow!
Yes.
help me understand something before you continue. How do you get appointed to the assembly versus being elected to the assembly?
Very good question. The previous delegate, Paul Quarterman, is now Senator Paul Quarterman.
Oh, okay.
So his seat became vacant. So our Republican Central Committee in Washington County, it was now their responsibility to appoint someone. So through an application process, I was able to champion that win among three other candidates, and I was appointed by the governor. But in 2 years, 2022, I'll have to run for election for that seat.
Okay, well, it's always good to talk to a fellow Black Republican.
Absolutely. We're few in number, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
But growing.
Getting greater.
But growing.
Yes, but growing.
All right. Now, Lacey, I know I only have a few minutes with you, and I'm so grateful for you carving out this time as you're going about trying to win the seat. Let me give the background. People can go to my last week's podcast to get the deep story from Delegate Draz. But I learned about this situation going on in Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's race, where they are ballot harvesting and creating manufacturing votes. So strong arming and manufacturing. Would that be accurate, Lacey?
Yes, that would be accurate.
Okay. So here you are, and I'd like listeners to understand from your perspective as the candidate with integrity, trying to restore integrity in this district is the 5th congressional district in Minnesota, correct?
Yes, it is.
And you cover Minneapolis?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so in Minneapolis,
and quite a few of the other major cities in the state, as a matter of fact, but in the district, yes.
Got it. But where this is occurring is primarily in the Minneapolis community. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Can you please let the listeners know what you're dealing with up there in Minneapolis? Because listen, it could be happening in Minneapolis. It could be happening in Baltimore. It has. We had issues in a gubernatorial race with Ellen Sowerbrey many years ago. So we know this stuff happens across the country, and we are fighting for the soul of our nation. How can we understand your issue and support you, Lacey? All right, go.
Well, first thing, if we look at the election process as a process, and the fact that it starts with voter registration and goes all the way to counting the votes, the state of Minnesota is controlled by liberal Democrats. And as soon as I took the voter registration training, I knew that it was ripe for voter fraud. And I know the Democrats and how they do business here and across the country. And so I suspected and knew it was going on. And then as a result of my campaign, I have attracted quite a few people from the Somali and East African community here. And they was advising me of the same thing. And so when the Project Veritas video came out, it was just a confirmation of what I knew all along. And I've been in touch with, I'm still in touch with people from that community. And I know there's a couple of investigations going on, one by the Minneapolis Police Department, which has been publicly announced. And I know there's a couple more going on. And we suspect somewhere down the line that these facts will be confirmed. However, as everyone is aware, our other opponent is the mainstream media, the mainstream liberal media, and that's what we have here in Minnesota, and they have not been holding anyone accountable for it. I hear that there have been officials, including local Justice Department officials, who's known about this, too, for a couple of years and hasn't taken any action. And so not only is the voting process corrupt when it comes to that, the official leaders are corrupt, political leaders are corrupt, and the bureaucrats are corrupt, in my opinion, when it comes to voting in Minnesota. And I strongly suspect, as most of us suspect, this is going on across the country.
So here's my question. How on earth is Ilhan Omar still in Congress making our laws when she's breaking them right and left?
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, I think we've seen a slow creep, and we have not done anything about it, of this whole leftist, liberal, Marxist type of system and process. Slowly bringing unethical behavior throughout our political process throughout this country. And this is just a continuation of this. Once again, when they're protected by the media, when you have a lot of young people who've been educated in the public school system and taught from kindergarten that America is corrupt and which justify any type of behavior in their mind, any type of unethical behavior to bring about a change, is going to happen. And then you combine that with a person from a culture that kind of look the other way or even promote these type of activities. That's what happens. And so most of the voters tend to look the other way on it with the attitude, the ends justify the means. And let's be honest, when you add in the visceral type of hatred, so to speak, against the current president, they figure that anything that promotes the Democrat Party is justified. And
Lacey,
so we're just at a critical point in our country and in our state and in our district here.
Absolutely. Now, we are up against the top of the show, and I could speak to you for 2 hours. I want people to know how they can help you. I've donated to you. I think that people need to support you. It's LaceyJohnson.com, LacyJohnson.com. Guys, go on and support this man. He is trying to restore integrity to not only Minneapolis and the 5th Congressional District and unseat somebody who has no business serving in that that legislative body. But he is also representing all of us who are trying to restore integrity. Let me say goodbye. Have a great week. Lacey, stay on the line, please. I'd like to talk with you. Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
Radio 930, WFMD, Frederick.
A Connoisseur Media radio station.
10 o'clock.